Listen to soundtracks from your favorite anime TV shows and movies at Reanime. Listen for free on the Live 365 app or at reanime.us. Reanime is operated by my family and I, so you know it has to be good. That's reanime.us.
Hey everybody, this is Sari.
And this is Sean.
And we're the Simpsons siblings, and this is not a review of a Simpsons television episode.
Oh, is it going to be like that Futurama fam podcast?
Who's that?
I don't know. Something I found online.
Oh, that's weird. I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, today we are not reviewing an episode. We are reviewing The Simpsons movie. Yes.
And it's funny because I recently watched The Simpsons movie, and then like a week later, we decided we were going to review The Simpsons movie, so I had to watch it again with my notebook.
Oh, no. You're like, ah, oh, crap. Yeah, it had been several years since I watched this, like maybe a couple years. And I think it holds up pretty dang good.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember being so excited for this years ago, and then I hadn't seen it for a long time until I just recently rewatched it. And I was going to wonder how it held up after watching some of the newer Simpsons episodes, and it still fits in pretty well.
Oh, yeah. It's real good. Yeah, we're going to do this one slightly different than our usual format. So usually we will kind of summarize what's going on in the episode as we go, so that even if you haven't seen the episode, you can kind of follow along. This one, we're not going to do that because it will be really long. It will be really, really long. We're already planning to make this a two-parter. It would probably have to be like a four-parter at that point.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, it's safe to say that when we do our episodes, people have probably seen the episode we're talking about, and hopefully with the movie, they have seen it. But if you haven't at this point, just stop right now, go watch it, and come back.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus and like the physical formats. Was this on VHS or was that after VHS was discontinued? Because I would love to get this on VHS.
Oh, you and your CRT TV viewing.
Oh man, I just got like 10 new VHSs today and I'm so excited. Okay, let's see here. Home media. DVD and Blu-ray. The inferior formats.
I'll convert it for you.
Yes. All right, should we get going? Because I'm going to have a long intro for this.
Yeah, we should start now.
Hold on to your butts, as the great Samuel L. Jackson would say. All right, so this is The Simpsons Movie, originally released July 27th, 2007 in the United States, but it was released 6 days earlier in Springfield, Vermont.
Oh, that's an evil hint. Like, does it mean something? Does it not?
That's weird. Like, why'd they pick Vermont? Like, is that, you know, the solution to the theory of where it is? But who knows? So it was directed by David Silverman. And okay, here we go. Screenplay by James L. Brooks, Matt Groening, Al Jean, Ian Maxtone Graham, George Meyer, David Merkin, Mike Reese, Mike Scully, Matt Selman, John Swartzwelder, and John Vitti. Who, a lot of those I recognize as part of the writing staff for The Simpsons.
A lot of those stand out.
Yeah. And I've also got to add that the music is by the great Hans Zimmer, which is interesting because the theme of The Simpsons is by Danny Elfman, and he also composes movies. So why didn't they get Danny Elfman?
Because I thought the whole thing was done by Green Day.
Oh, yeah. No, that's they just scored the whole thing. Okay, speaking of that, special guest stars, I'm going to mention anyone who's not in the usual main cast. So guest stars are Albert Brooks as Russ Cargill, Carl Windergott as the EPA officer. We've got Billy Joe Armstrong, Frank Edwin Wright III, and Michael Pritchard as Green Day, Joe Mantegna as Fat Tony, and Tom Hanks as himself.
Because I needed to borrow a little credibility.
Yeah, sometimes you do need to borrow. I love that cameo so damn much. You tousle my head, Mr. Hanks.
Which I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but remember the meme, like, later when Tom Hanks was doing stuff for, like, the Department of Health or something?
Yes!
And then they pull... Oh, I forget what it was for, but it was just...
need some credibility.
Whoever hired him for that had not seen the Simpsons movie and made a big mistake.
Oh, and I wonder if Tom Hanks was kind of like... Like, he was kind of, like, laughing under his breath a little bit.
You know, he's like, I'll tell him after I get paid.
Interestingly, and I should save this for the, you know, fun facts, but I'm just going to say it now anyways. Hours of finished material was cut from the final release, including cameos from Aaron Brockovich, Minnie Driver, Isla Fisher, Edward Norton, and Kelsey Grammer as Sideshow Bob. So there, it was recorded. It was cut.
Man, I want to hear that. They could make money selling that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could be on the DVD extras.
That's true, because, you know, they had to pay the voice actors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Unless it was cut from the... Was it cut? Yeah, hours of finished material was cut from the final release. They could have an extended version.
Like, animated?
It says, I mean, if you trust the Wikipedia, it says finished material, which usually finished material will mean it's complete.
That's hard. I'm having a hard time understanding that because, like, were they just like, okay, guys, we're at the 4-hour mark. Oh, maybe we should cut this down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't they realize when they were, like, in it how long it was going to be?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Yeah. It's weird. Anyways... we're getting way off track. we're not going to have any couch gag or chalkboard scene.
What was the chalkboard scene though that said I will not illegally download this movie?
Oh yeah. Okay. I guess there was a chalkboard scene. Yeah. And there it is. And of course we got to mention the 20th Century Fox logo.
Which I remember seeing this in theaters. And that's starting, and everyone in the theater laughing like crazy and just thinking, this is going to be good.
This is going to be good. Get out them popcorns. It starts out strong right from the beginning, right from the logo. I felt bad because I got my kid worked up to watch this because she was excited. She's seen this before, but she was excited to see it again. And I forgot that it started with an itchy and scratchy scene. And yeah. She's not allowed to watch those. So I'm like, oh, yay, it's starting. And I'm like, look away.
But the one thing I didn't realize until this watch through is the Itchy and Scratchy movie, like, foreshadowing what happens with, like, everything being blown up by nuclear bombs and everything. Like, I know it's not a direct connection, but it's there. Like,
you know, I never thought of that.
The president blindly making a choice and pushing the button.
Mm-hmm. That's very smart. I never thought of it like that.
I am very smart. SMRT?
SMRT. I mean, SMART. Oh, man. I can't believe we're paying for something we could have watched at home. So there was a really quick joke on the intro where Apu was changing the, like, an 06 to an 08. On a gallon of milk. And it's even funnier if you think about it from the present.
Yeah.
Like, that's a long ass time.
Yeah, this makes me feel old.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie's, yeah, as of last summer, it's 15 years old.
No.
This movie is a sophomore in high school.
Moving on.
This movie's 1 year older than your child.
Hmm.
I'm just going to keep piling these things on. Something I never noticed before, the college nerds from Homer Goes to College are the ones picking up Comic Book Guy during the concert.
Really? I didn't notice that.
Yep. It's always great when they kill off a celebrity that's, you know, playing themselves.
Yeah, it's... they like, you're still doing the intro music and they're getting into the core of, like, what the story is about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. That's some good-ass writing right there.
Like, some of the episodes don't start that quickly.
Yeah. It's not like those episodes where it starts out with something completely off-topic and somehow swerves to the topic. This stays on topic basically the whole time.
Yeah.
I thought the church scene had a lot of good sort of cameos in it, if you just kind of look at the people in there.
Yeah, like, the church is always full, but they had it especially packed this time, and I think it was interesting that Mr. Burns was there. Like, he doesn't seem like
a church-going guy. Well, he wanted to go to Green Bay's funeral.
Yeah.
It was a big deal, because they were, you know, dead.
Like Kent Brockman said, for the latest celebrity rock band to die in our town.
Like, who yes.
What yes. are the bands?
I've got to say, the line delivery on Grandpa's Vision is just really good. It's just really good voice acting.
Yeah. And they scripted that really well. Like, the staging, the build-up and everything. And like,
it's like the weird little noises.
And there's the part, too. Like, I remember seeing this for the first time when it, like, comes to a conclusion and the way Marge is staring and it lingers for, like, 2 or 3 seconds. Like, for a split second, I was like, did Grandpa just die?
Oh, man, that'd be freaking and then, nuts if and they then just it, kill off Grandpa at the beginning. Yeah,
but then they show him being rolled out and I'm like, okay. But there's, like, a few seconds where I was wondering, were they going to do that here?
Yeah. I wonder if maybe they were holding it just to... you know, kind of give you that sort of questioning.
Yeah. And then also it's funny with the Comic Book Guy filming it on his fancy phone. And it's like a, mm-hmm. like a flip phone. It's like, things are so different now.
Yeah. And like, it was like kind of pixelated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how out of all those people, only one person filmed it with their phone. Like, if something like that happened now,
all the different angles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that I noticed, too, I don't know if it's like a pattern that I'm seeing that's not really there, but when they're leaving the church, too, Homer's first instinct is like, oh, let's go get waffles. And just a couple days ago, we watched the episode where Homer skips church, and he, mm-hmm. like, jumps to waffles then, too. Is there some connection with Homer and, like, I'm looking too deep into it because he has the sacrilegious waffles.
It's just like that. Sacrilegious.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm like looking for something that's too deep, but I thought of that too. Like, Homer's just like church waffles church.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't make that connection either, but it's a good one. I mean, maybe there's just something in his subconscious that's like, man, I gotta have waffles. Something that kind of goes through the whole movie, which is just straight up good writing, is how little things that are introduced in the beginning come back in the end. Like, they're already introducing the sinkhole, and it's kind of just used as a funny scene. Like, oh, there's a sinkhole, and he's going to be irresponsible and just put the sandbox over it. But it's really something that's going to be really important maybe 20, 30 minutes down the line. And they do that so many times during this whole movie.
Not just a sinkhole, but, you know, Maggie being introduced to it.
Yep. Yep. And it's, there's so many different, I don't know if you just call that a callback or is that Schrodinger's gun? Not Schrodinger's gun. Oh my God. I'm mixing up Schrodinger's cat and Chekhov's gun. Which are two very different concepts. Chekhov's cat. Chekhov's cat and Schrodinger's gun. Is that a Chekhov's gun, or is that just more of a callback? It might just be a callback.
I don't know. I mean,
But
like, whatever it is, it's crucial to the story for progression.
yeah, and basically every single scene feels like it has a purpose. It's funny and it has a purpose. Nothing's just like thrown in.
Now, one part I really like is when Homer and Bart are on the roof and they're doing the whole like nailing thing, and they're talking about like doing something that's a bit more daring and everything because it's boring. And Homer like really has this child regression in his voice. Like, I mean, he's like, "Oh," Bart says he wants to do something fun, and Homer's like, "What kind of fun?" And he's like doing the "Oh, gee whiz" kind of voice, and he's like, "That sounds fun." Like, I just love how quickly Homer goes back to just like being a child.
Yeah, he can relate with him on that level, just being a kid and not thinking about your responsibilities or danger or anything like that. When he does the earthquake thing, when he's on the God, what's he on?
He's on the antenna.
Yeah, he's on the antenna. He does the earthquake thing. That angle shows exactly how high up he is. Like, it's a very well-placed angle. It's like, God, Homer, what the hell are you doing?
For you younger listeners, we used to get our TV over the air through an antenna.
Oh man, it's funny because just the other day I was talking to my daughter about how quick technology progressed just in the last 20 years. And there's a couple more parts coming up that I had to explain things. And she's like, "But this is only 2007." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's how different things are just in, 15 years."
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this shot that's held really long where Lisa goes door to door talking about the pollution. It just holds that frame that you're kind of seeing her progression down the street, and you really feel bad for her.
No, especially that last house when it's like, "Oh, you're the girl that saved my cat last year," then slam.
And she's really cute when she meets Colin. Like, she does the whole like, not knowing what to say type thing, and the little faint and all that.
Yeah. We don't see Colin anymore after this movie, do we?
Yeah, I wrote that down. He just literally disappears. They don't say that he moves away. They don't mention him. Yeah. It's about this time when they had the little ticker tape at the bottom where it's like, "See this on Fox. Yes, we even advertise in movies now."
I didn't write it down, but it was some like weird show.
Yeah. That's cute.
And then we have the fun skateboard scene.
I had one of those mom moments where I was watching this with my kid, and I was like, "I can't explain why, but you can't watch this part." And yeah, it's, oh my God. They find so many little creative ways to cover it up that are just absolutely ridiculous that they've used in like a kajillion movies before this, and then just blatantly don't cover it up for like 3 seconds.
I wonder, like, they probably had like a week of meetings to see like what can we do? How far can we push it without people like getting mad and protesting this movie? What's going to affect our rate, or like the PG-13 type rating? Like, and they're like the produce, everyone like the higher ups are like, "You want to do what? Let's
Do
run
you
this
know
by
what?
legal."
You know what I just thought of that I never thought of before? You don't see the rest of his body. So it's like you see all of him except for his parts, and then suddenly you see that, but nothing else. And I wonder if there was something where they weren't allowed to show his full body like that.
Oh,
But if
good
they just
point.
showed that, it was enough that they could get away with it.
Yeah.
Because they
Good point.
block, it's not like full screen him in the nude, it's just blocking off everything except for that part.
Yeah.
I bet you, I would bet you that that's part of some sort of way that they could get by with that. It's weird. It's a weird scene, and I don't know. It makes me kind of uncomfortable, and it's not, like, super funny. So it's, like, it's weird to me that they fought for that, because they had to have had some conversations about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's... I'd be okay with it not being in there, and I don't know if that's my mom, the mom side of me saying, like, oh, man, I wish they didn't put that in there. Oh, my Lord.
Won't someone please think of the children?
Somebody please think of the children. Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, super upset about it, but I'm just kind of like, meh. I don't know. But, yeah, I do love... Can we say the P word on here?
I don't know. I wrote it in my notebook.
Bountiful?
Yes.
Can we say pickle instead? Let's just say pickle.
Bountiful pickle.
Bountiful pickle. And then you know, just go, amen. Oh, it's perfect. Oh my God. That part of the scene is just perfect.
And then Ned saying it.
Yes.
Like
yes.
That. I don't know. Okay. So if we have any concerns about that being in the movie, the Flanders' results are worth anything that we're having to put up with. You know? Yeah.
They could have made that joke without showing the pickle.
Yeah.
We're just going to call it a pickle now. It's a pickle now. We don't have to go too in depth about the pickle.
Segues. I love Lou's comment. Come on, nobody likes wearing clothes in public. Maybe we got to follow the law.
Yeah, I don't want to. Oh my God. And leaving him handcuffed out there is 1,000 times worse than him skateboarding around. Because skateboarding around, people will see it for like a split second. But handcuffed to there, he can't even cover himself up.
Yeah. And poor Bart. Like, I mean, I know he chose to do what he did, but Homer egged him on. And just how much Homer, like, turns his back on him.
Oh, yeah. I could write a whole paper on how, because this was kind of a big time for, like, jerk-ass Homer. Mm-hmm. Like, Homer just being a jerk for no reason. This almost seems like a character arc about him learning not to be that way.
Yeah.
And, because I know there were a couple episodes in this time period where Bart got, like, really embarrassed in front of people. And it's like Homer going way too far. Where it's not, because in the first, like, 12 seasons, it's well-meaning stupidity, and then it turns into just being a jerk-ass. And I feel like this is that arc for him, this whole movie. Also, that mouth sandwich shot.
Oh, yes, I don't like that. We were watching it all together earlier, and we're just like, no, we don't like this. And then he, like, spits a bit of sandwich onto Bart's face.
Ew.
Like, that just emphasizes that he doesn't care, on top of everything else before.
Yeah. I noticed a quick reference to Homer's hippie days when he has that little imagination about the pig.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just got kind of his hippie clothes on, he's dancing around with him.
You can't kill him if he's wearing people clothes.
Oh my God. You've got this whole thing with Bart and Flanders that goes on, which is interesting.
Yeah, and just that he happens to have an extra pair of pants all the time.
Oh yeah. Yep. And like him watching him tuck in Rod and Todd, and where he just kinda goes, so that's what Snug is.
Yeah.
Ooh, that kind of punched me in the heart a little bit.
I'll have to say that hot cocoa looks really good.
Oh my gosh. I was wondering if that was in the cookbook that that you bought me after someone else bought it for me.
We could put it for ourselves. Yeah, it's in there.
It is? Okay.
I think it is. Or we were also looking at recipes online too, but there is somewhere where there's a recipe and it's like true to how it's made in there and it just looks amazing. Like, you know how there's like the instant hot cocoa, but then there's like the one that's made from like melted chocolate that's like really thick and really good and really bad for you. I feel like that's what Ned would have made.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he does that sort of little thing at the end where he like assembles all of it. And then he kind of just like sets it, like he kind of picks it up and sets it back down as almost like to enunciate it. Like, look how pretty this is.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a cute little character quirk. I love how cute and excited Lisa gets telling Marge about Colin. Like, it almost kind of reminds me when she's talking about the ponies in that one episode and she's jumping on the bed.
Yeah.
Her being a little kid with a crush, and she's like, the best part is he's not imaginary. Like, damn, they really make you feel bad for Bart here when he sort of sees how Homer's treating the pig and all that.
Yeah, and I think it's the scene before, too. Like, he's brushing the pig's hair in Bart's bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's the Coco scene, too. But, yeah, just, like,
yeah,
he's invading his space. He's taking over his, like, affection. It's like, he's so easy to give affection to this pig.
Mm-hmm. But
not for him.
Yep.
And then we have everything with, like, the town hall meeting and the importance of maintaining a good scissor lift.
I love that they did the town hall meeting, because that is such an integral part to so many Simpsons episodes that they knew that it seemed like that needed to be included.
Yeah, and always the absurd conversations that take place and how things escalate and get out of control so quickly that it's just like it's perfect. Like, that's, don't want to say it, we say it all the time, but classic Simpsons.
Oh yeah, definitely. How many times has Homer gotten an animal and not taken care of it properly?
It'll be a free-range horse that wanders around the neighborhood, and then at night he'll sleep between the cars.
And we got Stampy, we got the pony, we got the horse, we've got Mojo, the monkey.
Damn it. Yeah. Yeah, like, Stampy wasn't something that Homer initiated. He was something that, like, happened, but Homer ended up taking care of him.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny in the car hearing that old ringtone everyone used to have, that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, I can't remember last time I heard that. It's kind of sad how Homer betrays each member of the family's trust within, like, the first 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not that he hasn't already before, but it's just emphasized.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, like, the whole town. Which, as Ned points out, is surrounded by Ohio, Nevada, Maine, and Kentucky.
And I love that, like, within view, within each state, is, like, their main thing.
It looked like Zootopia, with, like, all the different... it kind of bothered me that they made Arnold Schwarzenegger the president, but not Rainier Wolfcastle, because he's just like Rainier Wolfcastle, with the same design and everything.
Yeah, because they could have been, this is President Wolfcastle, and we knew who'd be making fun of, but I'm glad you feel the same way.
It kind of pulls me out of the movie a little bit, because, like, if Arnold Schwarzenegger existed within the Simpsons universe, then Rainier Wolfcastle would be a parody of him within their own universe.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, it's weird. But they probably did that considering that some people watching this weren't super into the Simpsons and it might confuse them.
Maybe. But if you're not super into the Simpsons, what are you doing going to see the Simpsons movie?
What are you doing with your life?
Get out of here.
In general. Come on. Speaking of which, it's weird hearing Albert Brooks as Russ Cargill, because you know who else he played?
Who?
Hank Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
Some of his lines almost sound a bit like Hank Scorpio.
Yeah.
So that might be a little conspiracy there.
Ooh. Well, I noticed that he also walked out of the Department of Treasury, which is weird for him to go into, like, all this stuff then.
Ooh.
It's like, he's very money-oriented with everything, too. Like, he says at one point, he's like, oh, and I happen to make the dome, too, but that's not incidental. And then, like, his name is on the security cameras that later show up. His name is on the plug for the dome. His name is... He's making a lot of money on this deal, and he's coming from the Department of Treasury. So it's like, he's not the man for the job, but he's the man that, like, had the money to push himself into the job.
Yup. And you know how he could have made that money? Through Cypress Creek.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And then changing his name, and then having a face-off type surgery.
And he's, like, just trying to blow up the city that stopped him from blowing up the world?
Exactly.
Oh, I like this. It's a
conspiracy.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I literally just, wrote out of nowhere, Gabbo, Gabbo, Gabbo.
Oh, yeah. We see Gabbo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be Gabbo. And all of the philosophical and sociological implications of that couple second long scene where everyone in the church runs out, sees what's happening, everyone in the bar runs out, sees what's happening, and they switch buildings.
See, I've just, in my notebook, I've got church and Moe's and then an arrow pointing both directions between them.
Mine is like, this is poignant and funny on so many levels. Blah, blah, blah. I have a film degree. I will, like, overanalyze everything because I've been trained to.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. The guy getting squished bothers me.
Yes, I was going to say, like, I mean, on The Simpsons, like, people get hurt and stuff, but that guy died.
Yes.
And, like, they probably had a decision thing, too, to, like, do we show blood or no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't really show any. So, my kid had a very good question about the dome. She was wondering how they could breathe.
Well, that's one thing that I thought of, like, for later, too. Like, could you imagine the stank when you lifted that dome back up or when it eventually went away?
Yeah, and that, I noticed one of the first things Carl says when they almost escape is like, I smell fresh air. Like, that would have probably been one of the main things they missed.
Yeah.
But then, so we were asking about if they could breathe, and then my daughter was like, oh, but there's a lot of trees in there. But then there's also a nuclear power plant in there. Yeah. And a heavily polluted lake.
Yeah, but the power plant just puts off steam in the cooling towers.
Okay.
Which, interesting.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Interesting side note. I was looking up random things on the internet because I like to. Just like how nuclear power plants work and stuff. And a lot of the misconceptions about nuclear power plants are sourced to things that The Simpsons inaccurately portrays.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like a lot of things that people commonly believe about power plants that are false are sourced from The Simpsons. Not to get into the whole nuclear debater stuff, but that's interesting.
Yeah. That is pretty interesting. I love that it's had that much of a cultural impact.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a problem with the location of the Simpsons house. I mean, it hasn't really been concrete ever, because I remember one episode, like, the power plants, like, parking lot is right on the other side of their fence.
On it's the Stonecutters, like, episode.
Yeah. And now there's, like, sort of a foresty area, and they're right on the edge of town, which doesn't seem right either.
Well, it's like the city's suddenly conveniently circular shaped.
Yeah.
It's like the
like a dome.
I was thinking, like, the only thing that's consistent in the layout of the city is that King Toots is right next to Mops.
Yep. That, yeah, you're right. That really is one of the only consistencies.
Yeah.
And Flanders being next door. Yeah. Maggie is so cute with the sinkhole. Like, the way she kind of, like, bounces out. Like, bounces back in.
Mm-hmm.
This angry mob shot. They tried to fit every single character they could think of.
Yeah. And not even that shot, but through the whole movie, I think everyone's portrayed.
Oh, yeah. And you've also got to have an angry mob. I mean, that's another Simpsons staple, just like the town hall scene. Like, they've been having angry mobs since season one from the Telltale Head.
Yeah. Well, one thing, I don't know if you know the reason for this. When the mob is coming, they're just like, Homer's like, no, I'll sacrifice myself to save the family. And I think it's Carl shouts out, no, we just want Homer. But then like 3 seconds later, they're coming for the whole family.
It was literally the next thing I wrote down. Like, did they lie, or did maybe half of them only want Homer and the other half wanted all of them?
Yeah.
Or maybe they changed their minds once they saw that they were helping him escape.
That's true.
Yeah. It's pretty brutal, though. Like, they put the nooses up in the tree, and one of them has, like, a pacifier on it. Like,
I know.
Dang. And Maggie has the good idea to escape through the sinkhole, of course. And bringing that reference back. And the part where Homer jumps in and they scratch the top of his head always makes me cringe.
Yeah, that's like just a very like the pain where the thin is so skin against the bone.
Ugh. And the Simpsons house breaking apart is still really dang cool.
It is cool, and I know they eventually rebuild later to bring everything back to standard, but like seeing that, like, it's almost like I remember watching the movie for the first time and being like, feeling like the sadness, like everything that I've watched all these years just being destroyed. This is gone. But
yep. It's weird how in TV shows and books and film series that you become attached to places like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget what show this quote's from, but someone was talking about like an animated character passing away. Or talking about Bambi. It might have been Friends that this was on. He's like, yeah, it was really sad when they stopped drawing the character.
Oh. Like, yeah, I guess that's one way to put it. So we have, there's a line, this adds to my Hank Scorpio theory. This line from Russ Cargill where he says, I want 10,000 tough guys and 10,000 soft guys to make the tough guys look tougher. That sounded just like something Hank Scorpio would say.
Yeah.
And he has that like quick way of talking.
And then when he's like, sir, I think you've gone mad with power. And he says, have you ever tried going mad without power? It's no fun. People won't listen to you. Like, that's Hank Scorpio.
Just like Hank. It's like, have you ever seen someone wave to a shoe before? Like, that sounds like Hank Scorpio.
That line also reminded me of Cave Johnson from Portal. It's a very Cave Johnson line right there. Have you ever tried going mad without power?
Oh, is that from Portal 2?
Oh, you need to play Portal 2. It's so good.
I played the co-op. I didn't play the single player. I do need to, though. It's on my list. It's on a very long list, but it's on there. So one thing that Lisa says when they're staying in the hotel and Homer's out is she says, let's quickly rebuild our lives while he's gone. Like, they are really mad here.
Yeah, like, Lisa's usually the one that, like, is the last straw to keep the family together, but she's just pushing to bail.
Yep. And when he pulls out that poster of Alaska, isn't it physically impossible to fold the paper that many times without it ripping?
I think, too, it's just, like, the density. Like, how many layers?
And was he just keeping that on him? Like, did he just find the poster and was like, ooh, I'm going to put this in my wallet? Because he didn't know this was going to happen.
And it didn't really have any pertinent information either. It was just Alaska.
Yep. Yep. Oh, my gosh. Oh, did you pause on the signs outside of the window? When they're... Yeah, the Cinco de Mayo?
Well, did you look at the others?
I know that I translated the Japanese one. The Japanese one said Gojira Motatsu, which means Godzilla Motors.
And then I used the Google Translate app, the Korean one.
Oh, nice.
The Korean one says, Texas Dialect English Conversation Class.
Okay.
And the Russian one says, learn to speak English or get out.
Wow.
I mean, according to the Google Translate.
Yeah.
Took a picture of it as best as it can be. And then there was a Greek one, too, but it was too like pixelated for it to pick that one up.
Yeah. But the Cinco de Mayo one as well.
Yeah.
Which is Fiesta del Cinco de Mayo, 18th de septiembre. I can't remember how to say 18. Is it
What's your show?
Dieciocho.
Yeah, dieciocho. 28.
Dieciocho de septiembre.
Well, everyone is cringing as they listen to this.
anyone who is just like, no, that's not when you say it. The look-alike family in the gas station reminded me of Guy Incognito.
Yeah.
No, I am Guy Incognito.
Well, the fun thing, too, is through all these scenes, we see a lot of the EPA helicopters going over and searching for them. The EPA is burning a lot of fuel trying to find one family.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that. Yep. Yep. And of course, you've got the scene where Homer's on the motorcycle to win the truck. And that comes back in a huge way later in the movie, which is another one of those great callbacks.
I have in my notes, what is the legality of the Circle of Death?
Ooh.
Like, if someone gets injured...
That's a loaded question.
If someone gets injured in it, you can't say you're innocent if you called it the Circle of Death.
Mm-hmm. I remember Marge just swept the Circle of Death. Oh my god. So we're about at the point where they're going to go to Alaska, which is about the halfway point.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good spot to kind of...
Yeah.
Edit we're at move on.
Yeah, uncut, we're at 47 minutes, which is about a good amount for an episode like this. But I originally wanted to stop it at the to be continued, but that's so far into the movie that it would be very lopsided.
Yeah, we talked about doing that initially, and when that scene came up, I checked the playhead on my screen, and it was like 2/3 through.
Yeah, I was like,
which
yeah,
I'll, okay, which I'll not. Say is a good point to make you question, is the movie over? Because if they did it at the halfway point, yeah, it would have been too soon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. That's true. That's true. They were thinking. Yep. I mean, I don't want to go too far into like overanalyzing it, because I feel like we'll do that at the very end of part two. So I guess maybe we should just wrap it up and give a big thank you to Timothy Borelson. We still love you, Tim A. He is our one and only Patreon supporter. You can find us at patreon.com/SimpsonSibs. You can get some extra cool stuff if you sign up. And we'll be back in 2 weeks for part two of this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch the rest of the movie to get the full experience.
Those of you that only watched the first half.
Yes, you stopped at the exact half point. All right, so until that next time, bye, everybody.